Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here. It's hot here in the United States. So let's cool off with some awesome listener questions. We get a question today from Stacy asking simply, should she go to the Halloween party on the first party of the year or go to a water park? After all, it is August. So here are our thoughts on this and more on today's show. Don't forget, we're brought to you today by virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And last week, I got to bump up my countdown by a couple days. I shaved off 2 days because we're going down to play with some toys before my family gets there on June 30th. We're going to let you know what it's like in a certain land and a certain theme park. Pam and I are going to have a good time. And every time I get a phone call, place a text, post to social media, I see how many days I have to go. I love seeing that 8 right now. The big snowman is telling me I'm almost to Walt Disney World, and I'm so excited for that. Grab this and other great apps to make your Apple device a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who supports the Be Our Guest podcast with your Amazon purchases. Please just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon today.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1344 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel, who's probably got a little pain in his fingers, but hey, that's what we do. We work hard. I did my finger push-ups last week, so I am ready. 2019's here. Good times down at Walt Disney World. I think some things might be happening down at Walt Disney World in 2019, so you might want to be there. So I'm just saying, it's a cool time. Maybe. So we are here to answer your listener questions. We love the questions you send in. We answer them live here on Facebook as well every Monday around 5:30 Eastern, as Ricky says, around 5:45 by the time we get done, Gavin. And have a good time. So thanks for tuning in. We're going to be taking on those listener questions here. So joining me from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. What's going on, Ricky?
Nothing. I hear tell there's a star something opening up next year. I don't know if anybody else is interested in that, but you know, just throwing that out there. Star something at Hollywood Studios, I think.
Yeah. It's just a rumor. It might not happen. It's just a rumor.
Just a rumor.
Just saying. You might want to stay tuned because there might be some legs to that one. Who knows?
Might be. Could be.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. And speaking of a certain land coming to a certain park, you will be in a certain land in a certain park very, very soon, correct?
Very soon. And you will too.
I know.
I hate you both. I hate you both so much.
Really looking forward to it. So it's funny, as we got closer to this Toy Story Land opening, I, you know, was so glad I had a trip planned for right then, you know, when it was going to open. But like, how can you Disney fans not have a trip planned this summer? Like, aren't you going crazy? Like, I don't know. I mean, like, it's something about, I love hearing the reports from other people and hearing all that. But how can you not want to be there, even if it is going to be crazy? And that will be me for Star Wars, 100%. I will want to be there, knowing full well it will be crazy.
Yes.
I mean, we do Epcot on New Year's Eve. We do Epcot on the 4th of July.
It'll be more nuts than that, trust me.
But that's a good primer. That gets you set.
I know, right? I'm building a base.
Yeah, if you want to have a base for what Star Wars Land will be like when it opens, go on New Year's Eve. That'll be a good...
Amen to that. That just gets you in the right mindset of, you know, survival of the fittest at a Disney park.
I know, but this year, maybe nothing on New Year's Eve because the marathon's way after New Year's
I know, Easter. So I probably won't be down there this year for New Year's. Dang it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I probably won't either. That's
what we can do. Okay, so real quick, we had an update right before we start recording the show about they're adding the bus times, the bus wait times for the resort buses to the My Disney Experience app. Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited were you when you read this news?
Well, it was a 10 until I found out that you have to have a resort, like a reservation. So it's gone down to like a 8.5. So, because, you know, I stay outside a lot. So obviously I wouldn't have a reservation. So I don't get to see the times on my phone. I have to actually still trek to the bus stop. So boo for me.
No, I mean, it's not like the TV won't still be there. I doubt, you know, I'm sure it
will. Right. The TV will definitely still be there.
We know that those things are deadly accurate too. You know, they never change. They never go from like your bus will be here in 3 minutes and you're like, yes, yes. And then all of a sudden it goes to 5 and then it's like 12 and you're like, what? Did they have to go get gas?
Is my bus changing? Yeah.
Like, did they need a snack?
Yeah, I know. And I was like a 1 until my husband told me when I fly down for the Toy Story event, I do not have a car rented, so I will be taking Disney transportation.
There you go. Living like the rest of us. That's
I was like, what? What do you mean?
Nice. All right. So we got the first question today from Stacy. It's a simple one. She says, what would you choose? The Halloween party on opening day in August or a water park? And are the bikes worth renting at the boardwalk? Thanks so much, Stacy. Doesn't say where she's from. All right. So first of all, let me talk about the boardwalk bikes. They are a lot of fun, but they are heavy. If you've never ridden the bikes at the boardwalk or any of the places, those Surrey bikes, they are heavy, so they do take a lot of work to ride, you know, to push. So you got to be in a decent shape to get that done. Also, when it's hot, you probably want to do it at night, you know, around the boardwalk. Nighttime's a good time to rent a bike. So that's why I'd say they're fun, but they're not as easy. I mean, if you really look at the people that are riding those things, watch their faces. They're working, man. It's like driving a Volkswagen without a motor. That's what I say.
I've
there.
I've heard very many family arguments happening as people were riding the bikes. In fact, one of our favorite stories, and we laugh about it almost every time we see those bikes, is we heard a mom say to her child she was going to smack his face off if he did not start pedaling. And I was like,
wow.
Oh my goodness.
It got dark real quick.
But I guess it was hot and she was sick of pedaling.
Yeah.
As I always say, Disney brings out the best and the rest of us and the worst of us and all that good stuff. They bring out everything of us. So, yeah, that's it. All right. So, Ricky, the question was Halloween party, the very first party in August or water park? Because it's hot. What do you think?
It is hot. Oh, man. It's too bad you can't do both. I know that they really only want to choose one. So I think I would, it's tough. I think I would probably say Halloween party just because it's so unique. And, you know, there's the opportunity that you could go to the water park throughout the year if you're going down a different, you know, another year or something like that. So I would say Halloween party.
All right, Pam, what do you say real quick? This was three of us. We can kind of have 2 out of 1. What do you, we're, you know, 2-1 or 3-0 and kind of make a decision.
Golly, that is so tough.
It is.
Because the water parks are so much
they
fun.
Are.
I mean, they really are. And it's something that most people don't do. And the little known thing is, although some people know this, once you have purchased the park hopper option, it is not much more to add that water park option on. So it's actually not going to be that expensive to do. Because it's just, a relatively inexpensive add-on. So I'm going to go ahead and say, ready? I'm going to say the water parks.
Okay.
Although I love the party, I think that the water parks, because you get that, you get as many options as the number of days of tickets that you have.
That's
so
true.
If you have a 6-day ticket, you get 6 water park options, which is awesome.
If you buy that option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going water park, dude, just because it's August and it's so, so hot. And August isn't even close to Halloween. Come on now. Like, I know the party's fun. The party is fun. But, I mean, that's like doing Christmas in September. You know, it's crazy. It's just craziness. And you're just feeding into it.
Some
but it
people
is,
like to do Christmas in September.
I know. It is fun, though. The party's fun. You really can't have a bad decision. Okay, real quick, because somebody's asking, which of the water parks is their favorite? Stacy's asking here in the chat. River Country, Typhoon Lagoon, or Blizzard Beach? So probably not River Country. No, she said that was the last time she went to a water park was at River Country. So I like Typhoon. Pam, what about you?
I like Typhoon too. I just like the overall theme of it. And I like those little mini donuts.
Yes, that's a good reason. That's a good reason.
Nothing like going to the water park and getting little mini donuts.
I'm being honest. I like the lazy river there. I just really like the theming and it just feels bigger to me. There's a lot of space and all of that. So
Yeah, I mean, I've had my wedgie on Summit Plummet, and I think those days have flown by, you know? Like, I don't need that. I might do it one more stupid time, but it's not that fun. Really, it's just one of those things, like, it's not fun. Really, why? I mean, you go, like, 100 miles an hour and get it, like, the worst wedgie, your eyes water.
Plus, you're terrified leading up to it. Is this how I want to spend my life? Terrified?
Exactly. All right, Ricky, so we got two typhoons. I know you're a blizzard, right?
I am a blizzard.
I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what, though? I need to go back. I haven't been to the water parks in years. And, you know, with all the changes that they've made, well, some of the changes that they made at Typhoon, I should probably give it another try.
Crushing Gusher, baby.
I want the sharks to come back, though.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. No sharks. I did do the shark swimming,
though.
I
did, too.
That was the coldest water.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God.
So
it was
fun.
Oh, that water was colder than this basement. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. It was freezing. Oh, my goodness.
So cold. All right. Good stuff. All right. Let's get to one in the chat here. Anthony says, today was Magic Band Day. We added a room only to the front of our trip so we could go a day earlier. We all do that. That's a disease.
Disney math.
Exactly. We got two sets of Magic Bands. All the Magic Bands for our package. Or will the magic bands for our package be active for the day we arrive, or will we need to switch our bands for each frame of the vacation? So real quick, the magic bands will work. Any of them will work for anything. They just pull from your account. I shouldn't say this, but I told you I have now, for our trip that we're going on now, I have five separate reservations because I had to fill in like one night at, you know, Coronado before our package. So guess how many magic bands are going to be showing up at this house in the next week? Because I hadn't customized any of them. Yeah, I could make a wreath. Okay, so let's get to the next one here. We're going back and forth through the inbox. Jen says, Be Our Guest podcast team, I'm helping a friend with a short notice trip. And he's not a Disney fan whatsoever, but he wants to give his boys the experience. I like that. He's a single dad of six-year-old twins who are 47 inches tall. Everything but Aerosmith and Primeval World. Dad is 6'3" and thin. Okay, I'm 6'3", so I get dad's a pretty good height. Are there any rides they can't do because he's a single adult? I think they'll fit on the flying rides if allowed in speedway cars. He decided to do this 3-night trip 16 days before his departure and is staying at the Swan on SPG points. They have park hoppers, but we have not scheduled any fast passes for Epcot. Any advice for a single dad is appreciated. Jennifer. I like this idea. I mean, dad's doing it for the kids. I mean, that's what we do as parents. And but I mean, that is kind of a, you know, it's a unique situation when you're a single parent taking kids. You can't do parent swap because you don't have anybody to watch the kid there. So what would your best advice in general in this situation be, Ricky? What would you say? Because I like the dad's going, you know, out of his comfort zone for the kids.
That part's good. The only thing I kind of wonder about is the fact that usually, and hopefully because he's there with the two boys, it will be okay. But you usually have to have someone sitting next to you if they're under 7, that's over 14. So I don't really know how that kind of will work out with, you know, with that kind of situation. So it may be a case-by-case basis on a few attractions, but hopefully most of them can all sit together and that won't be too much of a problem. And I think that's probably what they're mostly worried about. But I just want to throw that out there just in case for anybody who's not thinking about it, that may come up, but I'm not 100% sure. And again, it would totally be on a case-by-case basis. So I don't know 100% on that.
The thing I think a lot of folks don't think about when they go to Walt Disney World is that, because I think a lot of folks, like this dad probably, if he's not a Disney fan, he probably equates Walt Disney World to like a Six Flags. And what I've noticed is at Six Flags, there's a lot of 2x2x2 kind of situations. Where at Walt Disney World, there are very, very few 2x2 kind of situations. I think it's like the dune buggies on the Haunted Mansion or Pirates.
You can fit
like,
three.
Yeah, or more, you know. Yeah. So it tends to be, you know, not a 2x2 thing. Like, you know, traditional theme parks have a lot of that. So, Pam, what would you offer this dad, a little advice?
I agree. And the one thing I wanted to mention, too, is even on rides, I think, like Big Thunder, as long as the dad's there, like in the car, I think in front or behind, they typically let you know, you all ride together. But like Ricky said, you absolutely are going to have a conversation with the cast members that, you know, a little bit
if
about
if they bring
that.
It up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If they bring it up. Yeah.
Yeah, don't bring just it up yourself.
No. Don't be like, so.
Right. Because yeah. Yeah, you'll be there in the car with them. So, you know, I mean,
yeah,
it's not like he's sending the two boys on their own going, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hope that works out for you.
I'll be at Gaston's Tavern. Catch up with you later.
No, and I think when you're a single parent traveling with, you know, with more than one child or even with one child, I think it's important to get the kids involved in the planning process. And that happens whether you're a single parent or a family. But just doing that, I think, keeps everyone a little happier. Their expectations about the vacation are going to be different than your expectations about the vacation. And just to try to keep everyone happy when, you know, children outnumber you, I think, you know, you got to keep that base of keeping folks just involved in the vacation and doing what they want and, you know, and things like that. Take, you know, frequent breaks. That's always important. Enjoy that pool. We talk about that so often, that enjoy, you know, the beautiful resort that you're staying at. And hydrate. You got to hydrate.
There you go. Hydrate. The one thing I'll kind of throw out there too is I think you'll find a lot of hard times maybe at counter service restaurants, you know, especially like ones that they have multiple counters or multiple ordering zones.
No, the kids just have to get, we all have to agree to get chicken nuggets.
That's just, yeah, exactly. Everybody's getting chicken nuggets.
That's it.
So, you know, just kind of be aware of that too. That may be something that they have to think about and consider.
You know, just go by my rule. You order a number and you don't modify it, because when you modify it, you're asking for trouble. That's just
well,
how
mobile
it is.
Order would be really handy.
That's
in that
true.
Situation.
That's a good
it
idea.
Would be.
Yeah.
Perfectly. Let's be perfectly frank. There, mobile order is going to be key for that family.
Well, I didn't say his name wasn't Frank. It didn't say what his name was, but
I don't like you. Such a dad joke.
Anyway.
Yeah, cut it out.
Oh, speak. Yeah, cut it out. Guess what I got for Father's Day for my mother-in-law?
What?
Taco Bell gift cards, baby.
No!
She knows me. She feeds the fire. That's it. Or she's trying to kill me, one or the other. I can't decide. Anyway, Jordan's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I found your podcast in my planning process and have been binging episodes ever since. We're just like
that's
Netflix.
A lot of us.
We're just like Netflix. My oldest son, Silas, who's 6, loves to listen along, and now he is set on planning another trip during a marathon. Side note, if you guys would give him a shout out, he would be so stoked. Silas, sorry. We don't do shout outs anymore.
We
don't do them anymore. We're not sending one out. No, just kidding. We love you, Silas. What's going on?
Yeah.
Keep listening. All right. Our trip is set for August 19th to the 25th, and it will be our second trip for our family of four. Our trips are a little different because they're actually booked through our employer and include our room at the yacht club and a 7-day park hopper pass with a trip to one of the water parks or mini golf. My first question is, are we still able to participate in a dining plan? And with the dining plan, are there notes next to the items on the menu that are included? We have ADRs at Teppanito for dinner, Cinderella's Roll Table for breakfast, Chef Mickey's for dinner, Sanaa for dinner, my mouth is watering, and 50's Primetime Cafe for lunch. Open to suggestions on any others we shouldn't miss. Character meals are a plus. All right, so she has one other question. Let's stop there. Not knowing how she packed how she got this package, I don't know if she can add a dining plan or not, because it sounds like, I don't know. Pam, do you have any, I don't know. I've never heard anybody booking packages through their employer. That's something new to me.
So you'd have to check with whoever that booked the packages. Only packages that are booked directly through the Walt Disney Travel Company or a travel agent that books through the travel company are eligible to add some of these things. So that's something you have to keep in mind.
She's got a really good slate of varied meals. Teppanitos, you know, it's ethnic, it's, you know, fun, it's entertainment as they, you know, make the food in front of you. Cinderella's Roll Table, iconic in the castle. Chef Mickey's got the Fab Five. You're going to meet Sanaa's, very good, underrated, fun meal where you can see the animals and get the bread service. 50's Primetime has like the you know, it's kind of entertainment throughout the meal. Ricky, are we missing any there for this family? What's Silas like here?
I mean,
they've
got a really good set of restaurants, I think. So I think they're doing really, really well, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, maybe like a Crystal Palace. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I was thinking maybe Garden Grill
Tusker House is a good one, too.
Tusker House, yeah.
All right, so second question. We have two boys, age 6 and 2. Still in that sweet spot of having one for free. Are there any tours you would recommend that we can all participate in? A lot of them I saw had small kids or preschool age kids. Would a two-year-old be included in that? I generally wear him on my back in a baby carrier so he won't be running everywhere. Thanks for sharing all your knowledge. It has been incredibly helpful in the planning process. Jordan is in Oberlin, Ohio. 140 from Pam, 706 from Ricky, 554 from me, but her sister's in St. Peter's. So there you go.
Oh, there we go. Yeah,
St. Peter and St. Chuck. All right, so tours, Ricky, 6 and 2. Can they do any tours together?
Yes.
What do you suggest?
I am looking, and I think that for the tours, they have to be 3. The one that I was thinking of, which was the Disney Family Magic Tour. And that's where guests can help save the Magic Kingdom from Disney villains, and Disney will test knowledge of Disney trivia through clues, puzzles, and a scavenger hunt. It's at the Magic Kingdom daily at 10 o'clock. It's $39 per person, but it does say ages 3 and up. So, I think that's
you do. I think so too. I think too that a lot of the tours too, someone that little may just get tired of it. Like, it may be boring, but one of the ones I may try and do is some of the stuff over at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, like that culinary tour.
Yes.
Now, this is not a full blown out, you know, a tour you even have to pay for, which, hello,
bonus.
Check mark. That's a positive, right? And you get food. So just show up over at the Animal Kingdom Lodge there on afternoons, and that might be one that I would consider doing, even with little kids, because they keep it moving. So
good stuff. All right, let's hop back to the Facebook Live. Kristen's got a question. How much does Mardi Gras affect crowds? We're thinking about visiting Walt Disney World February 26th and March 5th. I've heard that schools in the South get a week off for the holiday, so I don't know if we might be better off going March 26th to April 2nd. Any thoughts? Thanks so much. So, Ricky, I know that's a touringplans.com question. You know, go by there and check the crowd calendar is what I would say. But
definitely.
I mean, Mardi Gras is a big deal in St. Louis. But, I mean, I know a lot of folks do descend, but we don't get out of school here in the Midwest for Mardi Gras at all.
Right. And I knew that they do the South. That's tough, because I think that other time that she's talking about is, like, peak spring break time. So, I mean, not peak, you know, peak is like at Easter, which I think is later this year, or next year. So I think you're going to be up against crowds either way. I might pick the Mardi Gras week just because it might be a little less, but I really don't know. You'd have to really check a crowd calendar to see which one, if you really wanted to know, to see which one. But I might do the Mardi Gras week.
Yeah, I'd definitely go up against Mardi Gras rather than spring break, because Mardi Gras is a very small subset of, you know, schools compared to, you know, spring break's everybody.
Right.
But of course, it does vary from week to week, you know, throughout the season. But that's what I do. All right, Stephanie's got the next one. Two questions for a trip, she says, in June. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My name is Stephanie. I've been listening to your podcast for 2 years now and love it. I live in the Cincinnati area, but didn't look up how far away I live from everyone. Sorry. That's okay.
That's all right.
That's kind of played out. I have two questions about my upcoming trip at the end of June. Number one, my sister-in-law and her family are annual pass holders. Our accounts are linked, and every time we have gone and bought Memory Maker, we've both been able to use it. My question is, will we still be able to use both the Memory Maker since our accounts are linked and it's never been an issue before? So her sister-in-law and her family are annual pass holders. They are linked on My Disney Experience. Pam, they should have no problem. They should get it, right? Share the Memory Maker. All right. Second question. I absolutely love everything you guys do with Give Kids the World. Thank you so much. And I'm hoping this trip I'll be able to volunteer there. I was wondering if you knew if you're able to only go in one day to volunteer, or you have to give a certain amount of time. Any information you have about this would be so great. Thanks for all you do, and keep up the great work, Stephanie. All right, Ricky. So tell us about volunteering Give Kids World. They take anything, right?
Yes, I think that they do. So make sure you go to givekidstheworld.org. It's gktw.org, I guess I should say. There's a whole list of how to help, and they will explain kind of the whole process of getting approved, because you do have to go through an approval process, rightfully so, to be able to help. But they will take, I think that it's like a minimum of like 4 hours or something, I think, something along those lines. You can definitely go in for just one day if that's what you'd like to do. If you are curious about finding out about somebody's experience of recently who has volunteered, go check out the Masterless blog. We actually had a great article written by blogger Christina all about volunteering over at Give Kids the World. So she's got some great information about her experience over there. So I would definitely check that out.
Yep. They need your time and talents just as much as the money. So definitely do that. We appreciate that. And we've got lots going on with, you know, the big indie Disney meet. You can win a trip to Walt Disney World there in late August. And we're going to have the 12-hour live show coming up.
It's coming, I promise.
Very soon.
We're getting close.
Very soon.
We're getting close.
Very, very close to announcing the date. All right, next question is from Katie in the chat. Can you use Disney gift cards to pay tips at restaurants? Pam, you're the queen of Disney gift cards. I saw a text going back and forth between you and Scott. You guys were raiding Target. So can you just use it, though? I guess you could just for a tip. I've never done it. It's exclusively for a tip.
Yeah, you absolutely can. So if you're staying on site, one of the things I recommend is charging everything using your magic band right back to your room. And then you can go to the front desk of your hotel and give them your Disney gift cards. And then that will pay for whatever charges are put on your room. I think it's just easier to do it that way. Another thing I will absolutely recommend is combining your smaller Disney gift cards into one big Disney gift card.
Preach.
I know, right? And we recommend this to our guests for a number of reasons. First of all, it's a lot easier to keep track of one gift card than 35 $10 gift cards. And I know that there are people out there that have these. But there's just think of it this way. You don't have to worry about losing one of those. Mm-hmm. You've combined them all in one gift card. That's the only one you have to keep track of. I even keep the few that we use. I keep a record of those and a picture of those. So in case if I did lose that one, I had a record and that money would not be lost. It's just such a better idea to do this than to be juggling 35 gift cards. But if you're not staying on site and you want to use a Disney gift card to tip, you absolutely can do that.
And I even went to TacoBellGiftCard.com, but there's no such website. So
no, yeah, there's not.
It's kind of a drag. All right, next question.
Combine them. Plus, how much money would you really want to have?
That's true.
Knowing Mike, probably a ton. So let's not.
$9 goes a long way at Taco Bell. Let's just be honest. $9 could feed a small country. So I'm just saying. All right, Philip, that probably says about the quality of their food, too. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm addicted. So anyway, Philip says, best place to eat for breakfast or dinner for picky eaters, wife and son. I love how he calls out his family like I do.
That's so
it's
nice.
Philip.
Yes. Good job, Philip.
It's just wife and son. Exactly. He's like, man, I just want to eat somewhere good, but now I got to eat chicken nuggets. That's how it is. So using dining plan credits. So give them one place, like a good place for a picky eater. Ricky, what'd you say?
So first, I'm going to say I like almost anywhere for breakfast is a great place to go for picky eaters. But I am going to suggest, again, I feel like I'm a broken record today. I'm going to suggest Garden Grill. I think that, those tater tots were awesome.
Yes.
So, and there's that Chippendale bake it's a cinnamon roll bake. Yes, that's where it's at. I'm just saying.
Oh, and yeah. Philip added at Epcot. They're looking for Epcot. So that works.
So I gave the right answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Before
Garden
you even
Grill.
Came in, it came in late. Yeah, Garden Grill. You know, because Garden Grill, it's unique in that it's a character meal, plus it's really, really good food, but it's not fancy food. Like a picky eater, I think, can do okay there. Pam, what do you say? I'm with you on Garden Grill.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think it too, breakfast in general is a good place for picky eaters or any of the buffets. And you can just go ahead. And, you know, if you have a buffet in mind, even if it's not at Epcot, you can stop there in the morning, get breakfast, and then be on your way to the park. So that's something to consider. Plus, you're going to be next to, when you're in Epcot, you're going to be near all of those Epcot resorts. So that's the Yacht Club and the Beach Club and the Boardwalk, and they have some great options too. The other thing I'll say for picky eaters is I think Sunshine Season, especially in Epcot, if you're looking for a counter service location, will be a good option for you for not only breakfast, but also other meals because they have sandwiches and hello, those desserts. Let's just say that that's a great use of your snack credit over there at that. But they have things like rotisserie chicken, but they also have some more exotic options for you, so you don't have to be stuck eating chicken nuggets like Mike Rallman has to do. So consider that over there. If you're looking for table service, it depends on how picky your family really is. But I think most of the restaurants are going to have an option available even for picky folks. I mean, maybe not Morocco may not be your best choice because I think most of the food there is a little more exotic, but you can just get like chicken and rice. I mean, a kebab, most people would like that. But most of the sit-down restaurants are going to have something that appeals to guests. And that's the beauty of Disney. They're used to dealing with folks who may have a pickier palate, picky palate.
And Joe in the chat suggests Perkins. Unfortunately, that is not a location in Epcot. We appreciate Joe being in here with his comedy here. He's in charge of virtualmickey.com, so he helps us out. So we appreciate Joe. And I love the comedy. You know, you don't see him very often, but bam, he comes in with gold. I love it. So
right.
At least it's not IHOB. You know what I'm saying? Like, Perkins is Perkins. They're not changing
letters. For real. Can we pause for a moment from our regular Disney thing? Like, seriously, they are changing the P to a B.
I think temporarily for the summer, like to let you know that they still have burgers or that they have burgers, that they're not just there for breakfast.
I just like all the other social media accounts from like Wendy's and McDonald's and Burger King.
That was fantastic
them.
Shade.
Way yes, to go. It was.
People
yes,
really it was. I was just like, are you kidding me? So yeah, for some reason, I don't see pancakes and burgers as like a place that can do both well. I'm just saying this out there, and I think. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if well is the right word to use, but I know that like Brian has gotten, cause we'll go there for Brenner of, you know, every once in a while. Cause you know, Brian and I, that's how we roll. And so I know that he's gotten some more dinner type options sometimes there. And I don't know if he's gotten a burger, but we've definitely gotten like dinner time options there. So I think that they're just letting you know that they have more than just breakfast.
I'm just saying,
I don't know.
Here's how you solve that. You go to Denny's and you get eggs over my hammy and you're set. You know what I'm saying?
Like, way better than Denny's. No.
Denny's is stuck in the 70s, and I love retro stuff, so there you go. Anyway, back to the Disney talk. Oh,
Disney, but I had to ask.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, as I have.
Shout out to, and also, by the way, Philip already had an ADR for Garden Grill, so boom.
There you
touchdown.
Go. Awesome.
That's where we're solving the world's problems one at a time, even burgers and pancakes. Shout out to Malcolm in the chat. I know he's been struggling with some health issues, so we're glad to have him back in the chat here. So I hope you're doing great, Malcolm. So glad to have you there. All right, so next question's coming from Megan with a GH in the middle. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. It actually says Pan, but we'll go with Pam. I have recently discovered your podcast and look forward to each new podcast that comes out. I love that I hear you guys three times a week. So here's my question. I'm planning a Walt Disney World family trip for the week before Halloween. We're going to the Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, and Epcot, and have tickets to the Halloween party. My question is related to the Magic Kingdom Day, which is our first day of the vacation. I'm wondering about the best way to plan my day with a 9 and 6-year-old. My 9-year-old loves Splash and Big Thunder, while my 6-year-old wants to hang in Fantasyland for 7 Dwarves, Winnie the Pooh, and Peter Pan. I would like to go on Pirates myself. Sorry, you're the adult. You don't get to pick. I plan to try for fast passes for the Fantasyland attractions and possibly rope drop the Big Thunder and Splash Mountains. Do you think that's the way to go? Is it even possible to get those fast passes, or would you suggest I try something else? We are going on a day when there are extra magic hours at night. We have lunch reservations for 12 at the plaza and would like to see the parade if possible. So much to do. I need help with my morning plan. Thank you. Megan is an elementary school teacher, 5th grade. God bless you and enjoy the summer, Megan. That's all I got to say. So good stuff. All right. So you know what? In my opinion, she's exactly right. I would fast pass Fantasyland stuff like 7 Dwarves, if you can get it. Peter Pan as well. And then the third one I would throw on like a Big Thunder or a Splash, one of the other two, or even a Pirates. If you want to ride something that you want, you're paying for the trip. Ride Pirates. You know what I'm saying? But I would definitely do that with Fantasyland. And then, because I think if you rope drop and head straight to Splash and Big Thunder, people don't go there at first. You know what I'm saying? Like, do those initially. Schedule your fast passes for Peter Pan, 7 Dwarves, whatever your third one is, say around 10 or 10:30. That's what I would do. Pam, suggestions? What do you think? Improve upon my advice.
So I pretty much agree with you. Although this time, when you're trying to do as many attractions as you can in Magic Kingdom, that is the one time that I may suggest jamming in those fast passes first thing in the morning. So if the park opens at 9 because of the rolling fast pass, the Magic Kingdom is the park that this truly works in. So you may want to schedule your first fast pass for as early as you can get it. Let's say the park opens at 9 and they let you schedule a fast pass at like 9:30. I would take that 9:30 fast pass, but I'd be in there before park opens, get as many attractions done that are not on your that you weren't able to get fast pass for as you can. Then when that fast pass time comes around and you don't have to hit it, you know, right at 9:30, you have from 9:30 to 10:30, but whenever that comes around, go ahead and do your fast pass there. Keep doing other attractions, do your one at 10:30. Then at 11:30, be at that attraction for your 11:30 fast pass. At 11:30, as soon as you walk through the fast pass queue, get another fast pass and keep it going. And that is the way, my friends, to do the Magic Kingdom.
Agreed.
Yep. Boom. Mike, this is an expensive mic, so I'm not dropping it, but I'm leaving it on the stand. That's how we do it around here. We just pretend. I'll get my Bitmoji to drop a mic later on tonight.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, we got it. You know what? We got a different Megan, and she also has a GH. What are the chances? It's totally two Megans in a row with GHs in the inbox. I don't know what's happening. It's International Megan with a GH Day. Hi, Mike. I started listening to the podcast over the winter and loved the show. I was listening last week and finally decided to look up the Virtual Mickey WDW Days to Go app. See, Joe's in the chat, so I had to hit this one.
It's like it's meant to be.
I know. Like I had this one. Well, you know what? When Joe's in the chat, this one got bumped up. This one got bumped up the chain of command here.
There you go.
It's executive decision. I absolutely love it. It's great to be able to customize the photos on the app, too. 147 days to go till my next trip for my 10th Run Disney weekend, but first, Wine and Dine Race weekend. Would love to hear tips specifically for the Wine and Dine Race weekend on an upcoming show. Thanks to you, Pam and Ricky, for a great podcast. Megan, she says, best Megan. She doesn't say where she's from. All right, so, but her email is Disney Runner and a big number afterwards. That's cool that you are definitely sold on Run Disney. So I always have a hard time saying Wine and Dine Race Weekend. It sounds like Elmer Fudd. Wine and Dine Race Weekend. So the biggest thing that's different between, say, a marathon weekend and a Wine and Dine Race Weekend is you gotta compensate for the heat. It is hot still in November at Walt Disney World. The heat has zapped me more than one Wine and Dine Weekend. Now that they've moved it to the morning, I think it is even more hot, even though I don't know, because I try to think about it. At night, it was just like it stayed like, as Pam would call it, it stayed close. Like the races would start at like 11, but it would just, even though it was dark, it just never cooled off and it was super humid. It's still hot in the mornings, but I'd say the biggest thing is to prepare for the heat. And the crowds are pretty insane that weekend. The crowds are crazy that weekend because it's the very end of Wine and Dine. It's usually Jersey week. Race weekend
and
on top of that.
Yeah. It's last weekend for food and wine.
And it's around Veterans Day too, isn't it? I mean, there's like, it's like the perfect storm. Yeah. It's crazy crowded that weekend. But Ricky, you've run that race. So Pam, you've been there that race weekend too. But Ricky, any other advice for Wine and Dine?
I think the best advice is to hydrate during that whole time. Cause it, like you said, it gets a little humid. It's still a little humid that time of year. So it's not as cool as you think it's going to be. Just because it says November on the calendar doesn't mean anything.
That's true. It's hot. It's close.
So, yeah, it's warm. So just hydrate a lot.
And I just got to say, because I've never heard the word close mentioned except for Pam Forrester. Like that's the first thing we use it all the time now. But last night, listening to the Cardinals game, John Rooney, our announcer, said, oh, man, it's so close here in St. Louis. And I was like, whoa, it's spreading.
Whoa.
It's spreading. It was on the ball game. All right, Pam. So what do you
make up?
It's a legit
phrase.
Word.
Actually, we learned it when Steve and I were first married. We lived in this apartment building. This very nice man from England lived there. And he would tell us that it's close. And we were like, it is close. You're absolutely right.
The molecules
are so close that it feels like you're like wading through soup. So the term stuck. But
it's
anyway.
A little soupy. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
So what would you say, Pam, to this question? I can't even remember what. Oh, we're Wine and Dine Race Weekend. Like what sticks out to you?
Mike lost it.
For me, it's heat and crowds. I mean, that's kind of, it's a fun race to run. I'm not saying don't run it. It's a fun race.
And it is heat and crowds. And the other thing is you're going to want to schedule some time to actually stop and enjoy the wine and dine food booths. I mean, that's what you're there for. Probably not while you're running. Like,
No. But there's an after party with that race. That's a bonus.
There is an after party, but it's so late. I don't know.
Well, since the race is in the morning now, it makes it a little better than when we did it, when it was after the race that was already at night. I would think so. Hopefully now they can take a nap. When we did it, it was like you literally, as soon as you were done running at 1-2 in the morning, you then had, you know, after party until 4 in the morning, and you said, no, I'm done. I can't do it anymore.
were either of you there? I think it was the very first Wine and Dine race weekend after the race, because it was a night race back then. It was super hot the first year they did. Yes. Like, people were laying in World Showcase, like, dying along the rails.
I had some lady pass out on me.
People were passing out because you had to go through, like, the old World Show place to get your checked bags and stuff. Yep. Like, that's where they had them. I remember I ran it with Adam. I remember this first time, like, one of the very first times I met Adam, my buddy, and, like, we got a picture on the rail, and we were both just sweaty messes. Because before I even trained,
I remember
I would just run
that photo.
But do you remember, like, I remember that it was either the first or second one. I think we were sitting down by Sunshine Seasons after the race, and I got a wicked, like, Charlie horse in my back, and I screamed so loud. I'm surprised security didn't come.
Yes.
I was like, I think I'm dying. Just please tell somebody that I love them. Tell Pam, I love her.
Tell somebody.
Just let my family know. I didn't care. I'm gonna die. Just tell everybody I love everybody. I'm going out. I still remember that's my memory from Wine and Dine. Okay, anyway, we have a legit question here. Let's get to it. It's going to be the last one of the day. We got so many of them here. This one's really good because we're getting in 29 packages. Hi, BOGP crew. Planning a trip for 2019. We'll be traveling with our two small children. They're going to be 3 and 1.5. Trying to decide between the contemporary or a suite at Art of Animation. Which would you recommend? So again, it's family of 4, kids 3 and 1.5. I got to say contemporary if you can swing it, because you're right there walking to the Magic Kingdom. Pam, what do you say?
I know. And having just stayed at the contemporary, you know, in the last few weeks here, you know, it was one of those resorts that I sort of remembered why I have such a soft place in my heart for the contemporary. The fact that that you can walk to the Magic Kingdom, priceless. Forget the monorail. Being able to walk to the Magic Kingdom is just awesome. I really enjoy that. And then you can also take the boat over to Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness. I find that to be a big plus as well. Then you have the monorail resort. And of course, if you want to go to Epcot, you can take the monorail over to the TTC and transfer there and head over there. So that's where I would lean if you can swing it too, if there's not as much of a price difference. And remember, those garden wing rooms are less expensive than the Tower View room, although there is a big plus to laying in bed and being able to look out at the castle. So all that into consideration for sure.
And the chat is on it because they're having a nice conversation about pros and cons of both. And, you know, the theming is going to really appeal at Art of Animation to kids that age, which is a bonus. You're going to get 2 bathrooms and a family suite. That's a bonus. I don't know if you really need that with 4 people. Now, in my situation, we're a family of 4. 2 bathrooms is awesome because I've been known to walk down to the food court area to go to the bathroom down there because, like, I can never get in. Like, my number never gets called, you know, because I got 3 women. So that's just my thing. So, Ricky, what do you...
I can say something and I'm
ridiculous. I mean, like, how many times do I walk down to Everything Pop to go to the bathroom because, like, I can't get in? You know, anyway, go ahead. TMI.
Yes, thank you for that visual. Really awesome. Anyway, I was going to say contemporary as well. I think that the ease of being on the monorail loop is just so priceless for that age. But I mean, I understand where the chat is coming from with Art of Animation. You know, it's definitely a cool resort for that age group, especially because you do have, you know, the larger than life characters and things like that. So, It'll just depend on kind of whether the theme of the resort matters more to you or the transportation matters more.
Yeah. Because you're going to work harder to get to the parks at Art of Animation, right. But you're going to have a lower price point. You're going to have 2 bathrooms, but you have to deal with, like, buses and stuff where, again, you're going to go to other parks. So it just depends. But I mean, contemporary, if you're just focusing on Magic Kingdom, especially Epcot, boom, you're set. All right, so that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks for all the great questions. Keep sending those in at mike@brguestpodcast.com, and we'll answer those right away. Ricky, today's show brought to you by virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. What are we reading about? I hope it didn't blow up your spot about the buses on My Disney Experience.
I mean, I was going to talk about the buses, but I have something else to talk about, so you're fine.
Go for it.
So as many of you know, 4th of July is coming up. So there's lots of different things for guests to be able to do for the 4th of July season at Walt Disney World. So you've got the Magic Kingdom fireworks on both the 3rd and the 4th, a dance party in Frontierland and Tomorrowland, because you got to have a dance party. Illuminations has a special fireworks finale on July 4th only. There's also Voices of Liberty, which is performing in the America Gardens Theater in the evening, and then Disney characters dressed up in 4th of July attire at the American Adventure. Hollywood Studios is having the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular fireworks. I don't really know what's 4th of July-ish about that, but that's something that they clearly wanted people to know about.
Saving the galaxy.
And I love that they didn't announce anything about Rivers of Light this year. So they're just like, yeah, we have Rivers of Light, but we're not going to announce it. So if you're in Animal Kingdom, you can catch Rivers of Light. There's also patriotic treats, like, of course, a 4th of July cupcake at Creature Comforts and Isle of Java at Animal Kingdom. And you've got a Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse mini dome cakes at Emirates. And then, Mike, I think that this is probably the most interesting, especially for the lizards of the group. There's going to be a 4th of July 5K race.
Yes, I already sent it to Scott. I said, we are doing this. And it's not even on the 4th of July. It's on the 3rd.
It's on the 3rd. It takes place at Fort Wilderness. Pre-registration is available from the 24th to the 30th at the Fort Wilderness Bike Barn. And on-site registration begins at 7 a.m. At the field next to Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. And the race begins at 7:30 a.m. On the 3rd of July. So, you know, lizards who are down there can go run that, which sounds pretty awesome. There's also the 4th of July golf cart parade, which takes place on the 4th of July.
That's awesome. Now, that's America right there, a golf cart parade.
Absolutely. 100%. And then there's going to be a beach bash at Clementine's Beach. So, exciting things. 4th of July weekend.
That's right. Sam Eagle.
Actually, it's not even a weekend this year. It's like 4th of July, middle of the week.
Sam Eagle will be proud of these offerings.
Yes.
That's it. All right. So, yeah, we'll get some lizards over there to Fort Wilderness. Going to plan on doing that. I mean, as long as we were only worried that maybe it was only open to Fort Wilderness guests, because I could see a lot of folks showing up for this thing. Run Disney people are crazy. I mean, runners are nuts. I mean, I hope they know what they're getting themselves into with this.
I know, but they have advertised it, so I'm guessing that it's probably for all. So, yay.
I will be there then. All right, and Scott will too. All right, remember, wear your patriotic running shorts. Yeah, look
good. Oh, my. Be patriotic. Please take pictures if that's taking place, yes.
All right, all this news, again, available for free on your Apple device over at virtualmickey.com. Theme Park News Disney Edition. Thanks again to virtualmickey.com. Don't forget you can follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. Going to be lighting that up in 8 days, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Also, great Facebook page, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget to support the show over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We do all that online shopping. All right, we're going to be back again on a Friday, but come to the show not hungry, because we're going to be talking Disney dining at its best. Some of our favorites all around the resort, so stay tuned for that. But until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.